On this episode of Theology in Progress, I just share with you two brief devotionals of sorts from two different passages of Scripture. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives this one passage of teaching about anxiety and about being nervous or fearful about the future. And he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" So this is his general command. This is his general instruction. Don't be anxious, because life is more than these things. He continues, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Jesus points to things in creation that God takes care of. And the implication is that God takes care of you the same way he takes care of those birds. He asks, and which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? And then here's the part that really stood out to me the other day. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. I listened to this passage while I was in Michigan recently, visiting my wife's family, and it really stood out to me, this image of looking at these flowers and seeing them grow and recognizing that they did not grow on their own. Do not worry, Jesus says. Look at the lilies. They don't work or spin, yet they grow. Like, notice the language again. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They grow without toiling. That's how they grow. Notice the manner in which the lilies grow. Notice the methods that they use to grow. And then he doesn't say that they have any method. He just says that they don't toil. They don't spin. This is so big. This is so important. As someone who cares about developing myself, becoming a better person, I can get carried away. I can become legalistic, trying to find my identity in these things. And it was such an important lesson for me to recognize there is a real sense in which growth is automatic, in which growth is natural. It's normal to grow. You don't need to push yourself so hard. And maybe there's someone listening today who needs to hear this. You don't have to worry so much about your growth. Look at how the flowers grow. They're not out there exerting themselves, trying to come up with new methods. They let the natural time and method take place. They rely on the soil beneath them, though. Air beyond them, the water that comes to them. They're not in control of any of those things, and they don't pretend to be. Neither should we. Growth is beyond the control of the lilies. And to a certain real extent, growth is beyond your control. The lilies grow due to the resources pumped into them. The reason you don't need to worry about your growth is because your Creator is worried about your growth. You know, I think of flowers grown in a garden. Those aren't growing there because the plants are working hard. They're growing there because the gardener is working hard. And this isn't reading too much into this metaphor. Jesus says in John 15 that he is the vine and that his Father is the vine dresser. We are connected to Jesus and we grow out of his life. Yet it is not our work. The Father is the vine dresser. The Father is the gardener. He's the one that makes us grow. So rest. Breathe. Go look at some living things and be amazed at how little they worry about their life. They grow. They are. God cares for them. And he cares for you. And he will see to it that you grow. I recently was thinking about this one passage and I wanted to share it with you. It's from Luke chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so they might find a reason to accuse him. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come and stand here." And he rose and stood there. And so notice that there's this trap. It's the Sabbath, and there's a man with a withered hand, and the Pharisees make a spectacle out of this man. Instead of loving him or caring for him or having any concern for him as an individual, they want to use him as a tool in their plot to see if they can catch Jesus. And so they bring him to this synagogue and present him, and Jesus recognizes it. He knew their thoughts. I don't even know if this is an example of omniscience here, per se. It seems like something that he could have just been acutely aware of what was going on. He understood the situation, and he's proactive. He doesn't wait for them to ask the question. He brings him up and says, "Come and stand here." So he rose and stood there. Verse 9, and Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it?" And after looking around at them, he said to him, "Stretch out your hand." Can you imagine the silence there? That Jesus asks them this question. Is it lawful to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it? And there is no response. It just says that he looked around at them all. Can you imagine being in that crowd, having brought this man intentionally? Jesus asks you point blank whether it's good to do good or to do harm, and you having no answer. He said, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored. Great story, right? I wish that it ended there, or I wish that it ended with these Pharisees and scribes changing their minds and recognizing how foolish we were to prioritize Sabbath keeping over loving our brother. But instead, the story ends this way. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Jesus made people angry. But why? What were they so upset about? He prioritized the love over law keeping. They were furious with him because he prioritized love over law keeping. I think this is a real problem in the church today. I don't want to go into the details now. I frankly don't have the time while I'm recording this podcast too. But this still happens down to this very day. We prioritize keeping the rules that either we think are in Scripture, or that our tradition has brought up with us, or these can be rules that we make up ourselves. And we're willing to hurt other people, or simply not care whether they're hurting, in order to make sure that we check off our boxes. Another reason why they were so angry isn't just this legalism per se, but it's the fact that they were the experts of those legalistic laws. And so this was incredibly disruptive. When Jesus shrugs, Jesus kept the law. That's the crazy thing here. One person could read this and say, "Oh yeah, the law doesn't matter." That's not what Jesus does. He keeps the law perfectly. And yet he hardly even cares. He shrugs at the law. Jesus' indifference is what makes them so furious. He just doesn't care what the technical rules says. He fulfills it almost intuitively, just trusting the Father, because he knows to prioritize love. He knows to prioritize love over law keeping. It's also really interesting to me that Jesus says, "Is it lawful to save life or to destroy it?" This is an instance of salvation. This is the same Greek word that's used for salvation that we usually associate just with the spiritual, but this is a very physical instance of it, which shows that in the grand scheme of things, God's intention in sending Jesus to be the sacrificial sin bearer of the entire cosmos isn't just to get our souls into some type of spiritual connection with God, but it is to restore the very fabric of the hand that's withered and falling apart. He's come to save all life. He's come to save the entirety of it. And when I say all life, I'm not referring to the extent of how many people will be saved. That's not even my concern here. The question is, how much of your life has he come to save? And the answer is all of it.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you like this show and what we're doing, please leave a review and a rating. That will help other people be able to find the show as well. I'll see you next time.